And welcome everyone to a brand new episode of Adventures into Sovereignty with my intrepid co-host Rebecca Cope, and I am joined by Beth Stuyvesant, author of Backyard Secret Exposed, talking about high frequency EMF radiation poisoning. Welcome everyone to the radio show on the mega giant BBS Radio.com, simulcast in Google Plus Hangouts. Anyways, welcome everyone to the show.
Yes, I will go ahead and say hello, Andrew. It's always fun to be on here with you. This is your co-host, Rebecca, talking to you from Traveling Shoes in Ottawa, North Carolina tonight. And we're joined by Beth Sturdivant, who wrote Backyard Secrets Exposed. And we're just really looking forward to that interview with Beth. But before I go ahead and bring Beth on, why don't I give a quick update? Because there's so much going on between New Earth Nation, what's going on with the projects that we're all involved in, and the shows that we're working on, and the webinars that are up and coming, that I just really want to give a quick update. Because Beth was with us up in Lake Norman, North Carolina, as we gathered some of the footage for the Rod Class documentary that we have been working on. Now, Rod Class is one of the key witnesses for the International Tribunal of Natural Justice. That is my collaborative effort with my team putting together the International Tribunal for Natural Justice, which is a key project under the New Earth Nation Peace Treaty that everybody is welcome to go to the newearthnation.org website and peruse the peace treaty, because for the first time in recorded history, the people of the earth are invited to join in and sign the peace treaty that takes us into a new era. The International Tribunal will be seated under the New Earth Nation Peace Treaty. And as we get all of this documentary footage together, what Rod Class has been doing for us is bringing together the documentary evidence that proves that corporations posing as governments took over the government, took over all functions of the United States from the money system right on down, and basically leaned up every single one of the people for their war effort. And this is what we'll be exposing as we're putting all of this footage together for the documentaries. And I just want to announce that we have a major webinar coming up on Sunday, August the 31st, at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 5 p.m. Pacific. We'll have information out on the New Earth Nation site and on Facebook and on adventuresintosovereignty.org if you want to check out all of the latest information. But he will be explaining all about how the corporations took over, and then we're going to be going into the solutions that we can do, like how to come into the PAG training and what that's going to do for us, Operation Spitwad, and some of the other things that we're all talking about on the show all the time. So, Andrew, do you have anything else to add to that before we bring Beth in?
Well, Operation Spitwad right now is at a yellow light. So in traffic court, that means speed up. Pull out your straws and your spitwads and find a local court.
Yes, don't forget to send an email to rebecca@humanitad.org and put Operation Spitwad in the highlight in the subject area. Or if you want to volunteer to help us with all of these projects that we have going, because it's an all volunteer effort that we're working together on here. International Tribunal and everything else. Come
We're
join
looking
us.
for 100,000 people that can, at one day, write one letter to one court. That's what we're looking for out of Adventures in Sovereignty with Operation Spitwad or Operation Paper Tiger Roar. We're looking for 100,000 people that have the ball, the bob, balls over your backbone to do what? Write their opinion, whether they're courtesy notices, they have to be filed. And when we get 100,000 filings on one court in about one court case, it sends a message. We are organizing the grassroots at all levels here, and we invite you to come to New Earth Nation to get a hold of Rebecca to send in those paper tiger roars. Okay? Get ready to send in paper, because that is the nature of Operation Spitwad. They call us the paper terrorists. Well, now these paper terrorists are going to use their paper to give a paper cut on the underbelly of the dragon.
Yes, and we're going to do it with a lot of humor and a lot of irony, because if we're going to be accused of something as silly as being a paper terrorist, for Pete's sakes, let's take out the spit wads and the straws, and let's do some fun here. So we're really putting a lot of these projects together and just really having a lot of fun with it. But it's also a very serious undertaking, because it is the underbelly of the system, and that's what we're looking to do. So come join us in whatever way. That's Rebecca@humanitad.org. And we're also getting adventuresintosovereignty.org up and running. It's just in its very infant stages, but we are getting all of that going. You know, this has been a very, very busy team. And so we're really looking forward to having everybody get more involved and join with us on a lot of this.
Yes. So what I'm going to do is take out the dragon cookie and tell it to roll over so we can look at its underbelly and look at Duke Energy.
Yes. And
so
that's
Duke
going
Energy,
to be...
will you come from the underbelly of the dragon, because we're going to expose your backyard secrets.
Yes, and that's what Beth has been all about, not because she wanted to, but because she ended up getting sick and having all kinds of problems with the electromagnetic radiation from the power lines in her backyard. So Beth Sturdivant, who is also from North Carolina, come tell us your story. We're just so looking forward to having you as our guest tonight and letting you tell your story of how Duke Energy caused so much harm to your life and what you've had to do to recover your health. So welcome, Beth.
Thank you. Good evening, everybody. Thank you for having me. Well, my day started back in 2000 when we purchased a house too close to power lines. In 2006, they added a second set, and that's what really took me under. During that time, I was working a lot in my yard, and in 2008, they sprayed Sahara also underneath the power lines, which I got the drift from it from working out in my yard. So towards July of 2008, my body started shutting down. My back went out. I was laying on the floor for about 60 days, could not move. Nothing was helping me. I was... you know, had some fainting spells, headaches, nausea. I just ate. In October 2008, power company came to ask my husband and I, they wanted to purchase our house. Well, that spring of 2008, when I was out there working in the yard, I did see them out there measuring. Well, I didn't pay them any attention. I just kept on doing what I was doing. So when they offered to buy our house in 2008, we agreed to it on the basis that we would re-rent back the house. So at that point, I was getting sick. I was getting more like all pregnancy symptoms. And April of 2009 is when we closed on the property. And the week, a few days later, I found out what was wrong with me, because I started swelling when I was on my laptop, swelling to the point of being like 9 months pregnant in just a matter of minutes. So when that happened, you know, I backed away from the laptop. Then I started noticing that every time I was on the cell phone, it was making me sick and sick. So I backed away from that. And I had a friend that Googled swelling from a laptop. And it went on to say that the heat from a laptop's radiation. And it also said that if you live near high-tension power lines, these are all the symptoms, and I had all of them. So that was the beginning of me finding out about electromagnetic field poisoning.
Wow, and that's quite a story, because, you know, I've been reading your book, and you did a really, really good job. With Backyard Secrets Exposed, I urge you to go to Amazon and check out Backyard Secrets Exposed by Beth Sturdivant. And just take a look at her story, because she really details so well all of the things that you had to go through as you were dealing with this. So your case ended up being the very first time that anybody had ever had disability as a result of this diagnosis. So tell us what you went through as you really started holding the power company to task, because you went through quite a process to try to get some help from the power company, Beth.
Well, first thing is my brain shut down in April of 2009, shortly after I found what was wrong with me. I couldn't really walk. I couldn't talk. I wasn't able to pronounce words. I wasn't able to read. I really had no kind of comprehension whatsoever. My system just totally shut down. So at that point, I was in a black room at my parents' house, and they cut off most electricity there. Everybody had to walk around in the dark. I was affected by airplanes flying high in the sky. And, you know, I want to say I'm not telling you all this to scare you or put fear in you. I'm telling you this because if I could have had a warning that, you know, all these gadgets that we use every day, how they can affect you if you don't take your precautions and if you don't get a balanced diet, especially amino acids today is so important because the body gets depleted at a much higher rate when you're exposed to all this stuff.
And once you become toxic from it, you become hypersensitive to all the little frequencies. Like, I remember you telling me one of the worst things for you is refrigerators that are turning on.
Right. And so when the refrigerator's turned on, I feel like a missile going through my head.
And one of the reasons is, if you don't realize it, it's an electric motor and powering a gas compression for coolant. So for that wheel of copper to spin around in the motor and stators, create an electromagnetic field. All electric motors are based that way, right, as my refrigerator clicks on now too. So that's the nature. And then cell phones, which are electromagnetic frequency in a different way, in a different method, you have next to your head. Okay, those are providing more intense frequencies right at your ear. That ringing we get in the ears, because that part of your body is what become hypersensitive to those frequencies.
So with that said about the cell phone, in 2009 in September, when I started drinking alkaline water, it started pushing fluid out of my head. So then my head was leaking.
Literally leaking.
Yes, and that was coming from my brain tissues being overheated for, you know, many years of being a cell phone user. I was a bell bondsman. I, you know, answered my phone 24 hours a day. I slept with my phone. I always had my phone on me. So my brain was totally overexposed to the cell phones.
Right, plus all the other electromagnetic frequency you lived in next to towers.
Right.
And you were also very involved in your businesses. You have been just a high-profile entrepreneur and a person like this all of your life. So this must have just totally, well, the book really goes into the detail of how much it just affected your whole family, because obviously, you know, your whole family has to deal with this kind of situation. And it just comes on everybody so unexpectedly. It just creates such a, you know, your life changes forever, I'm sure, Beth.
Well, you know, it's something that you don't prepare for, because if you don't know about this, there's no way to prepare for it. So if the lesson that anybody gets from this talk tonight is you have to stay in front of all this exposure, and if you get behind like I did, it's very difficult to catch back up if you ever do catch back up.
Tell the audience how hard it was for you to find a zero magnetic frequency room, something that had an actual zero magnetic frequency, like in those clinics that you went through.
There was nowhere that it was zero, because the clinics that I went to, I traveled this country, I went to 18 different doctors, and the EMF experts, you know, they don't even know what zero tolerance is.
Right.
Because I was given a EMF safe apartment in Texas. Well, the power lines were level with, you know, the room that I was in. They had metal beds, which attract a lot of EMFs to you. That's why I don't wear jewelry or anything. Hopefully one day I will be able to, but right now I can't. And then they had a digital alarm clock. A digital alarm clock is one of the worst things that you can possibly have by your head, because it's just like sleeping under power lines.
Yes, right. Plug right into 110 volts. You know, it's interesting that none of these hospitals have it, because I know many of the underground buildings that are out there that people made for safety in the 50s and 60s from the nuclear war and up into today, those underground livers, they're EMF zero frequency. They surround their concrete bunkers and the central tube that's in there in a Faraday cage, and quite literally it's zero in there with the vault doors and everything. And you can live like that normally.
Yeah, exactly. But right as of right now,
They,
living up
right.
here in the world, it's almost impossible to find a zero.
Right. Short of those places being hyper-investing. And if they didn't, since they're not hyper-invested, showing that really that they can't take EMA frequency seriously because it exposes a much bigger scandal.
Oh, exactly.
Yeah, and I was just preparing for the interview today as I was riding out just from my home to our little town, and I was just noticing the number of power lines. It's like they're on the side of the road. We just take all of that for granted. We don't ever ask a question.
That's right.
And you can see all of these houses that are right beside these power lines and all of the businesses and everything. It's just a monster machine that's set up to help make everybody sick, and nobody ever questions it. It's just something that we have grown accustomed to. And so the thing that we're all having to learn is that we have to ask questions about everything. And as I was reading your story, Beth, and just of course after we got to meet you there in July in Lake Norman, just the fact that you had to do everything in your power to take as much of this EMF frequency out of your bedroom and out of your house. How on earth did you manage to survive? Because, I just can't imagine the level of sickness that you were dealing with. How long did it take you to get to the place where where you're able to function? Because you're obviously, over this many years, you have gotten back to the place where you can function. So I would really be interested in hearing, how long it took and what it took for you to start taking responsibility for your own health. As we're dealing, as we're dealing with law and sovereignty, that's a really big issue, because you had that aha moment when you realized that the doctors weren't going to take care of you, they were too busy. You had to take your own health into your own hands.
Well, one, it was the grace of God that would led me to the right knowledge that I needed to absorb in order to better me, each and every day. And, it was the consistency of not being around things, staying in the house. I mean, I was pretty much bedridden because I had a homemade gadget that would ground me and act like a Faraday cage. So I stayed with that on me constantly. And when I would come off of it, it was like I was being electrocuted by everything. So I'd have to hurry up and do what I had to do and get back on it. I, at one point, couldn't even flip a piece of paper without retching. Movement was horrific for me because my head felt like a big bowling ball was on top of it. And if I leaned forward or backwards or sideways, it felt like I was just gonna fall over.
Take a guess how many miles of power lines there are in the United States, just three phase high voltage, and there's different phases, four stage and four circuits and two voltage, of the most high tension power lines, three phase high voltage. Take a guess of how many miles.
Millions, probably.
Over 500,000 miles of three-phase high voltage, and another 750,000 miles of four-circuit, two-voltage power lines. Okay?
Well, I don't think
That's how
any.
much power is out there.
Yeah, and I don't think anybody can go down a road today and not see power lines. They're everywhere.
They're everywhere.
And so with me, even the roads I drove on or rode in a car with somebody, I had, I would take routes that weren't always the quickest, but where I know that they had less power lines, and then I wouldn't retch. Because at one point, I would retch a couple hundred times a day. I mean, anything that was invisible that was attacking me, I was retching.
Now let's talk about what Duke Energy tried to do to you, what kind of scam they tried to pull on you.
Well, basically when I contacted them about this situation, they immediately sent somebody to my house. And when that guy came to the house, he asked me if he could help me. And I said, told him I was sick. And he says, I'm not a doctor. I told him I wasn't a doctor either, but I know that I'm sick. And he says, well, the studies have shown that this is not affecting anybody, da, da, da. I said, I don't really care what the studies have shown. I know what I'm feeling. I wasn't like this before I moved into this house. So, you know, we went back and forth, and, you know, eventually he said he would have somebody back in touch with me. And when I went to the door, I looked really rough. I looked like a monster because I was just so miserable and just sick. And then on my way to the bedroom, I saw him out back taking a meter reading because he wanted to take a meter reading in my home. And that particular day here, it had snowed. So it was like kind of crazy that he even came out to my house because, you know, everything shuts down in North Carolina when it snows. Well, at least in our area of North Carolina and South Carolina. And so for him to come out there from my call-in, which I didn't even leave an address or anything, you know, they found me. And then he was out there taking meter readings because I told him, no, he wasn't going to take one in my house for what? I said, if you take one in my house, how do I know that what you're taking is real? I've already had the house tested. I know what it's doing. So I let him know that day, too, if you think you're going to kill me or anything.
And what was it doing? What were your meters reading?
Well, my meters were reading high. I don't remember the specific numbers, but I had my house tested by professional people.
I remember reading from the books it was like 20 times higher than normal or something to that effect.
Well, I know laying in the bed when they tested us and it should have read measured 20, it measured 10,000.
Yeah.
And that particular person said they don't know how we could even communicate in this house or stand up because there was so much high tension in this house.
Yep. So they knew from risk management. That's why that guy came out there that fast.
Right, and then the next day, which was a Saturday, I got a phone call from the risk management guy. And
see, risk management.
Yeah, and he, you know, asked me questions, da-da-da. But see, I had already been diagnosed by this time, so I already had that behind my belt. And, you know, that particular doctor said, yes, the power lines are affecting you, and you need to get out of the house as soon as possible. Or you will never get, you know, you will never heal when you do heal. So after that, you know, he said he'd get back with me. They sent a letter to me saying that they, you know, come out here and test it and they deny that there's anything wrong with this property, da 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 da. So I resent them letter back to the CEO and then they resent me letter back and denied me again. And at this time, you know, you had to understand how sick I was. So I didn't need the stress of keep going back and forth. And I just figured, you know, I did talk to a lot of lawyers, and they all said I had a great case, but none of them wanted to take this case. Obviously, they didn't want to go up against the power company.
And they knew that your life could be limited.
Yeah, so I just stood back and let it be because I need to focus on healing. I need to take responsibility of my illness here, and I needed to do what I could do to get me back over the cliff on the right side of it.
Right. And so part of the story that you told us in North Carolina was how you absolutely caught them. And, I mean, they sent paperwork and wanted you to sign. I mean, they really did everything possible to sort of cover themselves and leave you vulnerable. And you had enough presence of mind not to sign those papers and send them back. Do you want to tell us a little bit about what they went through to try to trick you into getting them outside of the liability? Do you remember that part of it?
Yes, yeah, so we had vacated the property, and I was getting ready to go to a brain facility, and I needed to make sure that they got the keys to the house because we had a swimming pool and there were children in the neighborhood. That's what I was concerned about. And so when I called, she said, oh, we sent you a packet on what to do. And I said, sent me a packet where? And they had sent it to that address. And, you know, obviously I'm not going to that house. It poisoned me. And so quickly I said, well, could you just fax me what was in there so I can read it? Because I can't go over there. And she did. I know I caught her off guard a little bit because I don't think after reading that she would have faxed it to me if she knew, you know, I wasn't going to sign or whatever. So I have a sealed document with what they sent. But basically what they sent was they would let us out of our lease if I dropped all charges against them due to the proximity of the power line, my sickness that's caused sickness, whether it be, you know, future sickness or whatever, but they just tried to cover their tails in there and they wanted us to sign it and have it notarized.
You got it.
Well, we didn't do
You got the classic risk management letter.
Yes.
Yep.
And you know, I'm going to interject here that one of the things that we're getting ready to do on the e-learning platform with New Earth Nation is to teach people how to file these SF-95s, which is a criminal complaint that goes against these corporations or government entities who aren't doing what they're supposed to do. And this basically is a fairly easy way that you can follow the protocols to send this information. And then once it's a very interesting thing that we're finding out. Once you send it to the proper channels and they either send you a certified letter denying your claim, then you've got to wait 6 months because that gives you the authority to go in there and do a tort claim against these people. It's just the opposite of what we have been told and what we think we know. So that there are ways that we can begin to hold these people accountable. And this is some of the things that we're working together under our law and sovereignty arm to be able to teach people how to do this so it's not so difficult. And of course, Beth was too sick to be able to do a lot of that at that time. But that is part of what we're doing, is helping people learn how to take responsibility for doing this.
What would be nice if we can get a group and an audience, 100,000 strong, that is willing to write papers to things like Duke Energy demanding the truth, writing papers to those that support Duke Energy in demanding the truth. So we are reaching out to the audience, and one of the things we're reaching out is to train 1,000 private attorney generals by the end of the year to make that a platform in which we can once again get actual remedy and resolve in a court of justice.
Yep.
So that we can turn those courts of justice, ICE, to justness, JUSTNESS, where our inherent rights are recognized and we are not considered enemies of the state.
Yep, and where government of, by, and for the people is a reality instead of a sick joke, as we're all learning that it really is. And now, Beth, I know you prevailed. You were the first person to actually get a disability claim, finalized. But now it took you, as it always does. A disability claim is not an automatic thing. Would you kind of share a little bit about what it took for you to get that disability claim approved? And you did get that disability under the EMF diagnosis, didn't you? Isn't that part of the story here?
Yes, I have electromagnetic sickness, and that's caused a disability. Also, on my website, you can listen to, I think it's about 2 or 3 minutes from the lawyer talking on the radio of why he took my case.
Okay.
So that would be interesting to, you know, people to listen to. But when I first of all, I didn't think I would be able to get disability because, you know, I'm a restaurant owner, even though I cannot work. So with that behind me, I called because I couldn't be on the computer to fill out anything. So I did phone fill out. And, you know, the first go round, they just totally denied me. And it just really upset me because it's like, here I am so sick and I just got denied. So I had to go through the process again. And then they sent me to a couple doctors that they recommended, and wanted. One was a psychologist, one was a medical doctor. The psychologist just asked me some ridiculous questions, which had nothing to do with me being sick. And then the medical doctor told me, he said, "Well, you know more about this than I do." I said, "Well, what are you going to write in the paperwork?" And he says, "Well, I'm going to write that I believe this is what you have." He said, "But I'm, you know, I don't really know anything about this." I said, "Okay, great." So, you know, I was denied again, and then that's when I got the attorney. So usually you get denied twice, and then you got to get an attorney. So but when I went, go
that's
ahead.
The game. That's the game that they play. Mm-hmm. And they do this on purpose. They do this on purpose. We're learning about the scandal inside the Arizona VA about vets waiting for doctors and dying on that list. This goes also into the Social Security lists also, the people that are on disability that are waiting also.
Right. Yes, and this was something that was so poignant in your book, as you were talking about, you know, the fact that you were just pretty much told this isn't going to happen. You know, it may take 2 or 3 years before you can get this done. And so you just kind of had to settle down and realize that, you know, what do you do in that 2 or 3 years? You know, what if you're a disabled veteran and you can't get help and you need it? Or if you end up with cancer or anything, just exactly sick as you did, and it takes somebody 2 or 3 years, what does this tell us about the quality of the people who we have allowed to be in charge of governance? You know, this is the time where we start really asking those questions and say, who put these people in charge and why are we allowing this to continue? And sometimes it's just the very simplest things that start us on a way where we open our minds and realize that it doesn't have to be this way. That, you know, who said these are our rulers? You know, who said that these are the people that we have allowed to be in charge? It's time for us to take responsibility. And so Beth, I know that when we were at Lake Norman, I was going through a bit of a crisis myself, because I'd come away from home and I didn't have, I don't take medication either, but I was coming down with a kidney infection just all of a sudden. And it's the only thing I've ever had to deal with, and it can be really intense. And so you were there. There were two of you who just were really into taking care of yourself from a holistic standpoint. And you had this great old huge jug, like I'll always call them the hard cider jugs from my Georgia background. That's what it looked like to me. And it was a brown, you know, brown glass so that it protected what was in it. And it was colloidal silver. And I don't know how you had mixed that, but it did wonders for that kidney infection that was just about to put me down. So I know that those are some of the things that you used to get yourself back onto a health path again. So tell me a little bit about how you mixed that colloidal silver and how you found that out.
Well, my colloidal silver has helped a lot of people. It's mixed with really good grade alkaline water, and there's no salts, anything like that in it. It's pure silver strips. It's put into dark brown glass bottles, and it works. I don't care if you have a cut on your arm or if you have an infection in your body or if you're just loaded with candida, it will work. And the big thing about colloidal silver is a lot of people just will take a teaspoon in that, and I had you drink, I think, what, 12, 24 ounces?
Yeah.
And that's a lot of silver. And if people don't realize, silver has a very powerful antibacterial property to it.
Yep.
Antifungal, anti-everything.
So that's what you did, and you started feeling better pretty much within an hour or so.
Yes, I did two things. Nadine had the diatomaceous earth, and she mixed that up for me, and mm-hmm. I started doing that much of a dose of the silver. Now, and I'll tell you, I mean, I'll give you just a short story to show you how this affects me, because, like I say, it's the only thing I've ever had as a chronic condition. I'm one of these kayakers and motorcycle riders, you know, I'm really pretty active when it comes to stuff like this. And one day we were doing a camp out on the river. We had our canoes, and, you know, I paddle my own kayak or my own canoe, and we were on the Chattooga River. And it was an overnight trip, and I didn't realize I left with a kidney infection. By the next morning, I was so sick. I had a temperature of like 104 or something like that. And I had no choice but to paddle myself out of that canyon on the Chattooga River on Class 2 and Class 3 and Class 4 rapids to get myself out of there. By the time I finally could get to the doctor, I had the worst case of pyelonephritis that is ever possible for anybody to have, because I didn't have colloidal silver or anything. Well, this was the closest I had come to having something like that again. And this colloidal silver knocked that out, that dose of it knocked that out. Within 2 hours, I was able to go on and finish the seminar that afternoon. That's how fast it worked. So what you did is you were dealing with your own health and finding ways like this. I'm sure that was relieving some of the toxicity within your body. Is that partly why you were doing the colloidal silver for yourself like that?
Yes, because they say that the biggest organ is your liver, that it is affected by the electromagnetics. So
it's slowly cooked from inside, as is all your other organs, including your brain. And what that means is the flesh is going through expansion and contraction and making cracks. And the colloidal silver, where bacteria can grow up in those cracks where there could be micro blood clots, will begin to take that stuff out and begin to combat that. The other thing is her body, she would go through retching and rapid swelling. That's because her endocrine system and her lymphatic system could not properly retain fluid because it was constantly also getting cooked. The cell walls, the DNA was getting damaged, and the body's electromagnetic functions could never get back to normal. And then when all of those things were in opposition and polarity of each other, until she found a normal place of unexposure so that the body could come back to some point, and then the body would go through swelling and retching moments until that it could come back to a natural pulse before she went back into the frequencies.
Right.
Well, you should have been the doctor.
I see energy, and I see the health and wellness in people. And for people that listen to some of the other shows that I do, health and wellness comes at the spiritual level. Without your spirit, you're going to have a tough time surviving without belief. And even atheism is a belief that is nothing, and that is your belief to choose, and that is your freedom of free will at this spiritual place in the choice. On the other hand, living in this 3D world, we still must take care of our bodies, because without this vessel for this experience to go forth, it becomes a very painful experience. And to take care of your body in homeopathy or any of the other ways is to acknowledge your heart, your love for yourself, your love for being here, and then looking for that can give you relief so you continue to love here, so you continue to have friends and relationship, that you don't fall into fear, envy, hatred, jealousy, or vengeance, but find a way to live in the normal way, connected to the earth, connected to your friends and family or your ancestors, or even more than that, the non-physical beings who are there to help us too, who are healers also. Throughout every faith and religion, throughout all of time, there have been the mythical healers who have come forward making the miracles. Well, we are our own miracle makers now, and we can all heal ourselves when we have that power of mind and heart and spirit set forth. Many years ago, I learned many different kinds of hands-on healing classes, and I began teaching nurses that were at burn victim units, and they needed specific coping skills dealing with people who were going through essentially torture every time the wounds had to be washed, and how different negative entities can come to and from the hospitals. And you know, these nurses, they needed coping skills and techniques until finally got to the highest level of hands-on healing, where they could put their hand over a person who was having a wound scrubbed, and that person would stop screaming and start to cry.
Yes.
Okay.
And any time you've ever experienced this, or you have been able to share this with somebody else, it changes their lives at the same time it changes yours.
That's right.
And so, you know, it's really, there's just so much to this, and so much to what Beth went through to go ahead and take her own healing into her own hands and take responsibility. And so this is a really big part of this story in two ways here, because number one, you have to start holding the corporations or whoever is dealing with this. If for your own peace of mind, you have to find ways to start holding them accountable, because if we don't learn to stand up and say no more, then we're doing a disservice to our spirit when we aren't willing to take those action steps that Beth took. I mean, she ended up getting the disability, but she didn't give up. She had to go through several years. You know, she had to stand true to herself in order to do this. And I know that's so hard for a lot of people. And I really, you know, we all feel for what you're going through. But at the same time, it's really important to have that courage. And then the second part of it is you are dealing with the spiritual part of it. You know, this was one of the things that Beth shares in her book that was just beautiful to watch, because she would start every day, the prayer work and the kinds of things that she did to heal her spirit along with this. Beth, you ought to share part of that story, because that was part of the thing that was just so inspiring to me. As I talked with you and got to meet you while we were in Lake Norman, and then as I read your book. So I'd love to hear you share some of that too.
Well, one thing is we have to know that our DNA is programmed in the womb. And so a lot of times people say, well, I don't know why so-and-so acts like that. Well, that's because the programming was passed from generation to generation through the womb. So when you're in a state of sickness, you have to go in and you have to start forgiving, you know, different things that have affected you. I went back to the memory of, well, the first thing I did is I know who my parents are. So anything that I thought that was negative that could have affected me, I went and released that and forgave it and asked the Lord to rebuke it.
You are an infinite being of forgiveness and compassion for yourself and all those that are around you.
And I did that over and over again with, you know, you do it specifically for one thing at a time. So I spent a couple years doing that. And as you do it, you start feeling better and better. And like one part I said in there is I took responsibility for this sickness and did not pass it or blame it on anybody else. And when the day I took responsibility for it, that was another healing step for me.
Yes. And yes, just so important. You know, it's just sometimes it's the little things. Sometimes it's waking up in the morning and just saying, you know, I'm so grateful to have another day here on this beautiful planet. And just to be able to soak in the gratitude, no matter what's going on. And I know there are a lot of times when people just feel like, you know, that the whole situation that you can be in is so hopeless. But if you just look around, you can always find somebody else who has even more problems than you do. And that may not always make you feel better, but you just realize you're not all alone in this thing. So I know there were times when you talk so much about your daughter, Beth. You know, she was just such a pillar of strength for you. Your whole family, you know, had to bear this burden with you. And it seemed to me that they really picked it up a lot of the times and were just couldn't understand what was going on, but managed to be there for you in spite of all the ups and downs. So I know there were things like that that really made a difference in your healing journey too.
Well, you know, I talked to a lot of people around the country, and that's one thing. A lot of families don't believe that they're, you know, the person is going through this. And, you know, I have a friend that now, you know, she has been a couple times put in a mental hospital because they just don't believe, you know, that this is causing her to act the way she's acting. Mm-hmm. Let me tell you, folks, when your brain does not work correctly because it's been disturbed by something else, you will not be the person that you once were.
That's true.
Here,
I have many, many friends that work in the IT industry, and they can be around two screens a day. and multiple servers in a given day, 8 to 10 hours a day, 4 to 6 days a week. And when they're not there, there's a significant difference in their personality, and they know it. And everyone in the industry knows it when they're not in front of their computers, how different they feel.
So one thing I would like to at least mention, the charity that we did start because of the electromagnetic sickness, it's called the Academy for Environmental Sickness. If you go to my website, you can read more about it. That's backyardsecretexposed.com. There's a lot of people out here that are sick, and when they really figure out that it's about electromagnetics and that, everybody's pretty much broke because they spend all their money going to doctors that never could diagnose them with anything, because these doctors today are not aware of electromagnetic sickness. They're not aware of the different things that happen, from anxiety, depression, fibromyalgia, you know, chronic headaches, you know, just outright crying for no reason. You know, all these things are symptoms of being exposed to too much electronics and that. So I will say this: if you're on the computer a lot, please get up and take breaks. If you can walk outside barefooted, stand on the ground and ground. Make that a habit. When you're on your cell phones, try to talk on speakerphone and don't have the phone on your head. If you look at the warning for your cell phone, they will tell you do not have your cell phone on your body.
Yep. Don't sleep with your cell phone next to you.
Yeah. Yes. Very important.
That's a And if you cannot sleep at night, if you're having trouble sleeping at night, is the lack of amino acids in your body. Your body does not have what it needs right. to sleep, so it will not sleep.
Diet also. So very important diet.
And if anybody's interested in asking me questions, you can email me. If anybody's interested in colloidal silver, you can email me, info@backyardsecretexposed.com. If you do happen to go to Amazon and purchase a book, please leave a review. All the reviews that are on there really help other people. The book was not written for me. It's written for everybody else out here just to try to help, because when I got sick, I couldn't find a book that had any information in it that could help me at the moment. I found a lot of science and, you know, different things that people did, but nothing to help you in the moment. And when you don't know about this, a lot of people have read my book that their spouse is sick or somebody else is sick, so now they're understanding why people are acting the way they act. So this is a great book to share with anybody, because you just don't know who's suffering from this.
Well, let's talk about the smart meters real quick.
Yes, those are everywhere and causing so much problem, and people are having success getting those things removed off of their house when they do something about that. So that's a very, you know, people are sometimes more aware of that than they are just the power lines, I would think. Wouldn't you think so, Andrew?
Well, smart meters got a different kind of exposure because you didn't have a choice to opt into it. They just said they're being installed in many parts of the country. And then people right away started getting sick. And there was a way to share information about it. And the big jump to relate to the power lines was different, because this was something they were installing in your home or your office that could be right next to where you sleep or right next to where you work, and you would never were told about it.
Yep. And so the awareness on the smart meters, though, did seem to, you know, the power of the Internet has been very good in helping get a lot of that kind of information out there, because I'm just very aware of people who have had this removed because they realized what it was doing as far as their health and everything else. And I know of people who have been successful in just having those removed, and I think that's a very important thing to be aware that you can do something
about.
That's
right. Also, gas meters use the same kind of smart meters. Okay, So you've got to be aware. You could have 2 meters on your property. And in some scenarios, if you're in like a gated community, you could have 10 or 12 smart meters very close together.
Oh, Yes,
that is exactly, especially if you're living in an area where every house has a meter. What if you're on a 20-floor apartment building?
Yeah, and
that's how much more exposure you're getting.
And this is what Beth's story is about, because her house was really the area within the subdivision where the most exposure was happening, and the power company was aware of this long before she started having this much sickness, and she could prove that as she went through this. So you know what? It's really about awareness, everybody. You know, you have to open your eyes and look around your neighborhood, look around your, you know, your property, so that you know these dangers that are doing something to your health before you get to the place where you have to spend years, like Beth has done, recovering your health and your finances and your sanity. Because if, as you read her book, you really get a sense of what, you know, what she had to go through to be at the place where she's even able to get on the radio with us tonight and share her story, because there were many, many, many years almost where she had to be in her bedroom tethered to this ankle thing to ground her energy so that she could even manage to survive the day. So take it serious. You know, there are lots of things that we can all do toward our own health and our own, you know, choices that we each make. I think that's really the big part of this show, is just having everybody stop and think about what's going on, you know, from any of the situations that you're dealing with credit card debt or foreclosures or, you know, sickness like this, too many medications that you're taking that don't really help your health. You know, there are choices that each one of us have to make. And that's a large part of what we're dealing with. As we're putting these shows on, we're saying, okay, you know, we all have to take responsibility. That's just a big part of what we're about here, is helping people to think through these things and begin to look at your life and make those choices that create more peace and prosperity for everybody.
Because without peace and prosperity, we can't realize the value of our hearts. We're stuck as beings of vengeance and no resolution to vengeance.
And also, too, if you make choices, you have to take responsibility for them. And if you're a winner, you do it, and you do it, and you do it till you get the job done. Losers make excuses. So if you're somebody that makes excuses for why things are the way they are, you might want to recheck yourself.
And boy, your story is certainly a testimony to that, Beth. Because instead of just staying stuck in that bed forevermore, you managed somehow. I don't know how you did it, because, you know, just to read your story, it really gives me hope that as bad as your situation was, you did manage to take those steps that brought you to a level of being able to get back out again and participate in life. So, gosh, I really applaud what you have done. And just urge everybody, no matter what your situation is, know that there is a brighter day coming. And it's you know, it's a belief system that we choose always to have that as a part of our, you know, it's a knowledge for me. It's just an innate knowing that we are returning to a place of peace and prosperity for this beautiful planet. And I intend it every single day. You know, I'm just so grateful to be here sharing this time and sharing this show with everybody. And just reaching out there and saying, hey, you know, send us a message. We try to respond to every single one. So just don't forget Rebecca@humanitad.org. Go on our website, adventuresinsovereignty.org, even if it's just got one page up there right now. I want everybody to know that we're doing our best to get all of these tools and things to share with you to help you create some of those choices that will make more meaning for your life.
We also have the webinar coming up on the 31st. And if people haven't signed up for that, you can go to send Rebecca an email, and you can sign up for that webinar. with BroadClass.
Yes, that's going to be important because it's going to set the stage for our 1,000 Private Attorney General training that we'll be doing later on. Later on, as we get this course ready, we'll be giving out all of this information as we go. We'll have Rod Klass on again next week because he has some really major information to share with this case, this landmark D.C. gun case. Really taught us a lot about what went on with the courts in D.C. that we can share.
Yeah, we will be simulcasting with AIB Network that special show here on BBS, and it's going to be really special because it is the week before his case, and there is a whole lot of things going on behind the scenes, and we want everyone to know what's going. We are making a public stink because now is the time where we buck up, where we collect together and make our grassroots support, and we're no longer a paper tiger that's just roaring. We're actually doing.
Yes, and that's the beauty of coming together. And as people, you know, I get emails that just absolutely is amazing to me, the quality of the people who are on these shows and listening to us every week. And we just really, you know, we value your participation and your feedback, because that helps us know what is best, how we can help you the most. So please feel free. You know, I shared one beautiful story last week of a man who's helping his children as they're going through traffic tickets. There is so much information out there as together we can share, just like Beth shared with me, how this colloidal silver just completely turned my weekend around. And, you know, just things like that we all share with each other, it really is worthwhile to tap into this support network. And if you need help with all of these things, if you think you're the only one out there and you don't know where the support networks are, let us know, because we're really good at connecting everybody with those support networks. We've been around a long time, and, you know, that's partly what we're here to do, is to share and connect everybody with all that we're doing.
Without sharing, connecting, these stories would go nowhere. So, Beth, you want to give out your website and email one last time before we end the show?
Yes, backyardsecretexposed.com, and email me at info@backyardsecretexposed.com.
And Rebecca?
Mine is rebecca@humanitad.org. That is R-E-B-E-C-C-A at Humanitad, HUMANITAD.org. And just don't forget, put in the subject line, volunteer or Operation Spitwad or Roar, or if you're looking for resources, whatever, put me a subject line in there, and we'll do our best to get some information to you.
And if you'd like to get a hold of me, your host here, Andrew Bartzis, you can go to galactichistorian.com, and then you can fill out the contact page. You can also check out our different products that are there. There's a number of different services that are available. We have the spiritual contract revocations, which are available for free. I have just put another dragon video out, as well as the spiritual power of food. So for those people that are looking for new content that's constantly being updated, check it out. We also want to tell everyone, tomorrow here on bbsradio.com, we'll be continuing our another reading show, as backed by popular request, every other Saturday here on the Mega Giant BBS Radio. That will be 9 o'clock Pacific here on Station 1. I want to take a time to thank everybody in the background that has made this show go forward. There's a team of volunteers that are constantly working, and when I mean a team, a full team, Rebecca and I have been doing this now for 3 months now. I've been working on some serious projects, and without acknowledging those people like Lamont and Rod and Dwight and Carl and everyone else, Jenny and Wes and Paul and all those wonderful people that we met at the event, thank you guys very, very much. You have really made this project special. To Rogier and Amit with National Geographic, that are putting together right now a series. They're going to put together the budgetary series to do the thing to train the 1,000 PAGs. That is right. A major motion company is trying to get PAGs promoted. And the work that Rebecca and I are doing in the background is extremely intense at times. So volunteers are absolutely necessary at this point. So we'd like for you to invite you to come to the next show next Friday. We'll be talking with Rod Class, exposing more secrets. Thanks a lot, everyone, at the BBS radio station, Megagiant itself, and everyone listening on Google Plus that will be replayed live. Thanks a lot, everyone. Take it easy.
Good night, Andrew. What a great show, and thank you so much, Beth, for being a part and sharing your story with us tonight. And I really encourage everybody to go to BackyardSecrets.com and read her story and help her get this information out to others, because there may be somebody in your family or in your neighborhood that needs this information. Thank you all for joining us, and I want to give a shout out to Nadine and Jennifer and Christina and Tamara and all these other folks who really are just so much a part of this network that we don't want to forget anybody. We love all of you, and we thank you so much for being with us for this show tonight. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Bye-bye.